This is Doctrine and Doxology, and we welcome you to a new episode. Glad that you are joining us. I am Skylar Spradlin,
yes,
co-host, and
yes,
you are Larry Jones, co-host.
There you go.
And whoever else is out there is a listener.
I'm a little bit disappointed. Usually you give a lot of accolades before you say my name.
And accolades.
There were no accolades.
Accolades. Everglades is what I was thinking.
Oh.
Accolades. Okay. The one, the non-flamboyant.
If you have to start thinking of stuff, then it's probably nothing of value to say.
Well, I don't. Yeah.
So anyway, it's good to be back. We've been gone for like 3 weeks.
Yes. So two of those weeks we were gone. I mean, we'd left on
a
jet trip.
Yeah.
And then we had technical difficulties last week.
Yes. Came in and turned the computer on and it said, I'm not turning on today.
Correct. So it's been repaired. Went to the computer hospitals, made itself back. It's doing fine. But do you want to just kind of rehash a little bit of where we were?
We were actually
weeks prior to that
in Washington, D.C.
In what?
In Washington,
D.C. You said Washington.
I know I did. At Capitol Hill Baptist Church, observing them as they did their normal everyday
stuff.
And so we can observe and possibly apply some of that stuff to our church.
Correct. It wasn't just Capitol Hill. I mean, it was primarily Capitol Hill that put on what is called a weekender.
Yes.
But it was really organized and overseen by Nine Marks.
I thought that was the same group.
I mean, no, they're not, but they go hand in hand.
Okay.
Yeah, they live together.
And they're in the same location.
Yes.
At Capitol Hill Baptist Church.
Yes, but they are two different groups, two different entities.
Right.
Anyways, okay. Nine Marks oversaw. Capitol Hill was gracious enough to let everybody in.
Yes.
And out of that came a lot of good stuff.
I think so. I think it was a lot of good that we could adapt our situation.
Correct.
And our church size.
Yeah. It was Thursday through a Monday of really good stuff to think through and kind of process.
Some stuff doesn't apply because they're a large church and we're small.
Yeah, they wouldn't say that, you know, you have to do it exactly like them because of that.
Right.
They made a distinction between elements and forms. We do or have to have certain elements, but the forms of those elements can change based on context.
Yes.
Like preaching is an element. You have to have that. It's critical. But the form of it is a little different in context. You know, 30-minute sermon, an hour-long sermon, you know, whatever. The form can change.
Okay.
But there was also something else that occurred.
Something else that occurred.
That actually directly impacts the podcast.
Something that actually directly impacts... Oh, you're talking about sponsorship.
Kind of. So, in case you haven't heard, and there's a good chance you haven't, but we have been teasing for a while, Doctrine and Doxology is branching out past just being a podcast. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun. Yes, it is.
It is turning into a full-fledged incorporated ministry.
Really?
It is.
I never thought it.
You never thunk it. It is incorporated in our home state of Oklahoma and in the process now of being declared a 501c3 organization with the Internal Revenue Service.
Oh, my goodness.
IRS. Anyways, a lot of administrative stuff going on there, but all of that to say, Doctrine and Doxology will, in the future, serve as kind of the big umbrella name of the ministry, and underneath that umbrella will be a lot of things going on that help us serve the purpose of understanding God doctrine and then worshiping him,
doxology. Yeah, yeah.
One of those things is called the pastor's cohort.
Oh, so that's the name?
That's the name.
I can't even say cohort. Cohort.
That's why we picked it. It is going to be a very unique, awesome, I think really awesome ministry for aspiring pastors, bivocational pastors, small church pastors, meeting certain criteria and all these kind of things, where they apply, and in partnership with Nine Marks that came out of this weekender where we were there, Doctrine and Doxology, partnering up, teaming up with Nine Marks.
Yes, yes.
To get these pastors free resources.
Awesome.
18 months of resources and education, all at no cost to them.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
It's nice that they would do something like that.
Well, here's where the listeners come in. They can support these pastors financially for $10 a month or $180 for the whole 18-month time frame.
So is there a twofer thing? So it's like they're 5 cents each or two for 15?
I haven't broken it down that way.
10 cents a piece or two for 15?
Well, I mean, Nine Marks is definitely supplementing and doing all these other things. In fact, it's really not possible without them coming on board here. But we still have overhead costs. We still have shipping and meetings and things like that. And so when people donate to give to this cause, to these pastors, they'll help cover the shipping costs of the materials, the at-cost publishing cost of those materials.
Right.
Also, those pastors who really can't afford, or maybe their church can't afford, to supplement book expenses, they'll be able to begin a really solid kind of personal library with great resources, all while being kind of shepherded through those resources in the next 18 months.
That'd be good.
So instruction and encouragement and even face-to-face in-person meetings and things of that nature. I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be a way to build healthy churches by investing in the pastors. That's the goal.
Right, right. That makes sense, too.
To help a lot of these smaller, even rural churches by equipping their pastors so that they will then in turn equip their churches.
Right, right.
So we see it as, I see it as an investment in the kingdom of God, in the church of Christ, and to do that through their ministers, their pastors, their leaders. And so I'm very excited about it. I think and I hope the Lord will bless it to strengthen his church in parts of the world that oftentimes gets forgotten.
Very good.
So that came out of this weekender. More to come on that. That's just a really quick spiel. Right. But I think it leads us into what we're talking about today, because I see this ministry as just the goodness of God.
Oh, my goodness.
Goodness.
Goodness gracious.
Wow.
Great balls of fire. Yeah. So this one of the subjects for today is, one of the communicable attributes of God is goodness.
So we're coming back to these attributes that God possesses that he's allowed us to share with him.
That's right.
And we come today to the shared attribute of goodness. What are the other ones we've covered so far?
We have covered, spirit, invisibility, knowledge, wisdom, truthfulness, and now we're to goodness.
And there's a lot more to go.
There is. There's probably 20 of them.
And maybe more, depending who you ask.
Probably is more if you start thinking about things that we can do, that God can do, that even though we can only do it in a minute part of the way God does it.
Right. So we've already covered in our series here on the doctrine of God the incommunicable attributes, the things that he doesn't share with us.
That's true.
Perfect in knowledge, all-powerful, ever-present everywhere, all that kind of stuff.
Independent.
Yeah.
Unchangeable, eternal, infinite.
Yeah, that's all really good.
There's a couple more.
Those are things that God gives us some inkling of an understanding of, but they're really beyond our comprehension, and they're certainly not anything that we experience.
Right, exactly.
On the other hand here, the communicable attributes are things that we can comprehend.
To some degree.
To some degree, and do experience to some degree, but as you said, not to the degree that God possesses them. So when we talk about goodness here, we know that God is good.
Amen.
And we can be good or do good, but right, not to the extent of God.
That's true. So if we are strong, spirit-filled believers, we can start possessing the attribute of goodness more so.
Yes.
Because of our faith in Christ, because we do trust Christ and we're trying to be conformed into his likeness. And as he conforms us by word, prayer, preaching, studying, we can develop more goodness.
Correct. So how would you define goodness?
Oh, you don't drop the hammer so quickly.
Hey, we've been going now for 10
minutes,
man. I know,
you sidetracked my mind. Okay, it's on page 198.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
I now have it. There is no higher standard of goodness than God's own character and his approval of whatever is consistent with that character. Nonetheless, God has given us some reflection of his own sense of goodness, so that when we evaluate things the way God created us to evaluate them, we will approve what God approves and delight in things in which he delights.
Right.
That sounded pretty professional, didn't it?
It surely did, surely.
I think it was professional.
I think that's an interesting definition and one that's worth our contemplation, because it highlights that the goodness that we share with God only comes through God himself.
Yes, it does.
In other words, I think of Jesus saying, "Why do you call me good? No one's good except the Father."
Yes.
And the point there is, apart from God, we are not good.
That's the truth. We have evil hearts. And we live in a
fallen world.
Fallen world.
I think of Romans 3. Paul says, "No one is good, no, not one. No one seeks for God.
Right.
No
right.
one is righteous." And so there's this sense in which we share goodness with God, but only in relation to God, when we understand who God is and what God deems right and righteous and perfect
right, right.
and valuable and worthy and ultimately good. Now, that wasn't the original design, right? I mean, we see God's goodness, I think, most clearly, maybe not most clearly, but obviously displayed in creation, the creation accounts.
Okay.
That's where I automatically always go when I think about God's goodness, because over and over there he says, "I create this, it's good. I do this, it's good. I create man,
and he looked at it,
it's good."
And he said, "It's real good."
Yeah.
Very good.
And so there was a sense in which we were created to share, live in, rest in, relish in pure goodness.
Right, right.
Where everything in creation was good.
But something happened.
Sin.
Sin.
And so today we don't live in goodness. We live in brokenness.
Right.
Corruption and fallenness.
Right.
And even the good things that we would call good are often tainted. In fact, they are tainted with some measure of sin.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's take the average individual who goes down and volunteers at the soup kitchen doing charity work. That's a good thing.
You would think so.
But in that is embedded some not so good motives and intentions.
Yeah.
Make myself feel better, make myself look better. I mean, there's always sin lurking, even in the good things that we do.
Right.
And so that's why I like that definition, because there's no true goodness in us until we are born again.
Yes.
Reconciled back with God.
Right.
And then evaluate everything and do everything through the standards of God's goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, if we're doing something that's actually truly godly and good, it will be something that we don't want any recognition for. It's something we just do it because, you know, he's got good works prepared in advance for us to do.
Right.
And we just do them and praise God and keep going.
Right.
Don't stand up on the podium and beat your chest.
Right.
Crow like Tarzan or something.
Now, I think this is one of those attributes that we also hold up and we say we should be striving for.
Absolutely.
So, like, I think of James, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father.
Yes, I have that one here.
And so that's kind of this, like, picture into or window into the fact that God can only do things that are good. That's not true of us, but it should
Correct.
Be. We
Correct.
Should strive for that so that in everything we do, goodness comes out. It's good. It's right. It's valuable.
Has worth.
Has worth. So it's one of these attributes that we can experience if we're walking with God. It's one of these attributes that we were created in and with before sin.
Right.
It's also one of these attributes that because of sin, we ought to hold up as striving for because we want to honor God in fellowship with God. And there's no better way to fellowship with God than to be with God like God. Bearing the same characteristics and attributes.
Right.
So goodness should mark the Christian. Goodness should mark the church.
Yes.
And goodness should be something that God's people are quick to identify and celebrate.
Yes, and always point to God as the author, the one who is truly only good.
Right. I think there's great gospel power when God's people deliberately point out good things in creation and uphold them as good things.
Yeah.
And I think God, in his goodness, lets us still see and glimpse and taste some pure goodness in creation. The birth of a baby.
Yeah.
It's Isn't really good. Really good. Especially when it's in the context of a godly Christian marriage.
Right.
I think a flower blooming.
Yeah.
Even like today, a flower blooming in the rain. That's a glimpse of goodness.
Absolutely. And you can take that all the way to the stratosphere or to the cosmos and look at the beauty of the stars and what God just spoke into existence.
Yeah.
It just brings honor and glory to God, and it just makes us stand in awe
right.
of his goodness.
Conversion, when people place their faith in Jesus,
right.
are born again, that's
right.
good.
But it's all still a work of God.
Absolutely. And so God's people need to point it out when they see goodness. They need to have a right definition and understanding of what goodness is, point it out, and celebrate it, because we're in a world that's just so full of brokenness and death and darkness and... But if God's people will shine light on what is good, it's refreshing.
Yes, it is.
And like you said, it gives credit to God. And I think that's partly why we share that attribute, so that we can point out and know and understand what is truly good and thus celebrate and praise God for it.
Yes.
Anyways, those are my thoughts on goodness.
Okay. Well,
there's lots of other thoughts.
I have another good subject.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. The next subject, or the next attribute that God allows us to share in, is love.
Mm.
So, this is kind of a biggie.
This one is a biggie.
It is a biggie.
We're about out of time.
We're saying God loves. Well, we can give a teaser about starts, you know.
We might do half today and
finish
pick
it up
again.
Yeah, but God is love, and it's throughout the Bible. It starts from Genesis and his love and how he cares for others and how he loves us, how he gave him, of course, go on into the New Testament, how he gave his only son, for God so loved the world. There's so many verses that talk about his steadfast love, his love for us, and how we are to, in like sign, love others.
Mm-hmm. Especially,
and the only way we can is because his love dwells within us.
Should especially love him and his people.
Yes.
But even Jesus teaches our enemies.
That's right. So that is a huge subject because love encompasses, like you said, friends, family, God, enemies.
Yeah. Love
pray
is.
Pray for those that despitefully use you. It's right. Just a matter of loving others as God loves them.
Love is one of the foundational attributes of understanding God and understanding even creation and understanding our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is entirely built on love.
Yes.
And so it's all over the Bible, especially in the talking about salvation.
Yes.
God patiently endures with Israel because he loves them, and patiently endures with people in the Old Testament because he loves them. And Deuteronomy is at chapter 7. He says, I didn't pick you out because you were greater than any other
Could
nation.
Be.
I just set my love on you. And then we fast forward to John 3. God so loved the world, he sent his only son. 1 John 4, I believe it's verse 8, God is love. There's only a handful of statements like that in the Bible. God is jealous, a jealous God. God is a consuming fire.
Yes.
God is love, which means it's one of those defining characteristics of his entire being, of his entire existence.
Well, you know that God shows his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Absolutely.
Of course, you did John 3:16. And Paul also speaks of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Hmm.
So that's God loving. You know, because, you know, we think of God the Father, I do anyway, when we think of that kind of love, God the Father loving us, allowing his Son to die for us. But then we have to start also thinking about God, Jesus, who loved us.
Yeah.
Everything he did on earth was just to lift up the Father and to point us to him as the Savior.
Yeah.
Well, and it's all because of love.
Let's take it. I want to just even push it maybe a bit further there. You said the Father allowed his Son to die for us. It was a Father's plan for his Son to die.
Yes.
You think of Peter in Acts 2. It was the definite plan and foreknowledge of God to deliver up his Son. Jesus wasn't crucified because people were mad at him.
Yes.
The Father crucified him. And I'll be careful there because the Bible always says that you Jews crucified him. But that was the plan of God, to sacrifice his Son for the salvation of sinners. And he did that motivated out of, as you just read, love.
Yeah. God allowed him to become the price to bring us to him.
Yeah. So I have one thought here, and it kind of spills over to all the attributes, but specifically here with love, that I wanted to wait and ask at this one. Because of that phrase in 1 John 4, God is love, I think the Bible teaches that God loves, does the act of loving, does loving acts, because he is love.
Okay, yes.
It's a defining mark of, again, his being.
Like good.
Yes. Good is who he is, and so he does good things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's also the way that we're supposed to experience these attributes. We're not just to do loving things.
Yes.
We're to be love. Love is to be a defining mark of who we are as God's people, specifically.
And that's something that no one can do apart from God in their heart, God in their lives.
Right.
He has to infuel that power to allow us to love our enemies.
Right.
The natural world will have a system or as part of love for their family and close friends, but to love your enemies, that can only come from the empowering work of God.
Well, and I think God allows, as a common grace, allows all of us, even unbelievers, to experience love in these realms of family, children, friends. So that it might drive us to seek a greater love.
And
truth be told, people are pursuing some form of love and acceptance in everything that they do. I mean, it's who we are. It's how we're created. And so people want to be loved, want to be accepted. And I think it's because they get a taste of what love is like.
Right.
But it's an incomplete love. It's a finite love. It's a fading love.
Right.
They need a greater, more sustained love. It's a conditional love.
Yeah.
They need an unconditional love, and that's only found in Christ. And that love isn't based on feelings or emotion so much as it is commitment.
Yeah.
Dedication, devotion, affection.
Yeah. It's like your children. Yeah. You know, you may have to discipline them if they are not acting correctly, but it doesn't alter your love for them.
Right.
That's unwavering.
I have warm, fuzzy feelings for my kids.
Yep.
Often. I mean, I have an emotional attachment to my kids often. But on a day when I'm in a funk or I'm distracted or I'm stressed and those emotional, fuzzy feelings aren't as strong, that doesn't mean my love for them is any less.
Right, exactly.
My love still wells up for them unconditionally, I hope eternally. And that's how the Father loves us.
That's a little bit of the mirror image of what God is, yes.
Yeah, and that's where we share that attribute. And we share that attribute even as unbelievers, even just in a common grace sense, so that we might be driven to know a greater love in Christ, a greater love from a greater Father.
Right.
God. So all of these other things are just mirrors and shadows pointing us to the bigger kind of love. Same for goodness.
Right.
I mean, we can see some glimpses of goodness, but those things aren't to satisfy us forever. They're to drive us to a greater goodness found in God Himself. So we share these attributes so that we might know God, taste something of God, and be driven to Him.
Be like Him, yes.
I think of like Jesus and the Beatitudes, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be satisfied.
Yes.
It's kind of that same idea with the attributes. If we taste them, taste and see that God is good, if we taste them, we'll probably develop a thirst for them, a hunger for them.
Right.
And so then we want more and crave more, and when we go find those things in God, we'll be satisfied.
Right.
I'm glad God is good and loving.
Yes, me too. And there's a lot of other things that I'm glad God overlooks because of His love for us, like my sin.
Patiently.
He's long-suffering. But that's all fueled from His love for us.
Yeah. He didn't just overlook our sin. He dealt with our sin.
Yes, He did.
He paid for it. He removed it.
But He forgives us.
He forgives us.
And that, of course, is out of love.
Yeah. Which I think the connection here is obvious, how this impacts our worship. Our worship of God, our entire relationship with God is built on His love for us.
Yes.
And that in turn should stir our affections to love Him.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's always more that could be said about these two.
Yeah,
these
we could go sing a couple of songs if you want. We could talk about the love of God. And
we should.
We should, yes.
But not recorded.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to scare people away. Like, you can do it, but...
Yeah, right. Okay.
Well, these are big categories, goodness, love. They always spur on more thought and discussion. And perhaps we should revisit them because they, you know, the longer we linger in them, the more impact they seem to have.
Yeah.
Hopefully today's discussion spurred thought in somebody.
I think maybe next week we'll just try to go through the Bible and pick out the times where God has demonstrated His love.
You better write that down so we don't forget.
I've got it recorded.
Oh. Yeah, but you don't listen.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Anyways, hopefully this spurs on not just thought in an individual person, but maybe conversation, maybe something worth visiting about with somebody. And if so, we would love to hear how that conversation goes and who you might visit with. So reach out to us. You can contact us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can find us at trinityweatherford.net under the resources tab, Doctrine and Doxology. You can email us there. You can find us on iTunes. Contact us through iTunes. Subscribe there. Find us on Amazon Music, Google Play, all that good kind of stuff. Share with your friends and maybe start a conversation with them about the love of God based on a podcast like this. You can say, hey, I heard this podcast this last week. Would you listen to it and tell me what you think?
Yeah.
That may be a good conversation starter.
Might be.
Might be. I certainly would love to hear from anybody, specifically as it relates to the pastor's cohort.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. I hope it shows the love of God.
Yes.
If you want to be a part of helping us set up that ministry, covering startup costs, or even donating to support a pastor right now, reach out to us. We are in the process of gathering information like that and reaching out to others so that hopefully we can get this ministry going as soon as possible. And maybe by the time August rolls around, start getting pastors enrolled in these 18-month
that would be awesome.
Seasons and start equipping them for the good of their churches. So,
yeah.
Anyways, reach out to us. Let us know somehow. Comment, message, email, text us if you've got our info. If you want to know more about that, we would love to visit with you about that and tell you how you can jump on board and support what we hope will be a great initiative to strengthen churches in the name of Christ.
Amen.
For the glory of Christ.
Are you fading away?
I am.
Okay. Father, let's thank you for your wonderful love. Let us thank you for the goodness that you've shown us. You've reached down and touched our lives and brought us to you. We who are undeserving, we are very grateful. Thank you for the privilege of prayer and the opportunity to actually step into your presence and make our requests. And Lord, today we request that you show us more and more of your love. You show us, help us open our eyes and our ears to see your word, hear your word, understand your word. Give us guidance in our daily lives. May we always be about sharing your good news. And we love you. Thanks so much for your love. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen.